Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.
David Sterrett is the former chair of the New York Film Critics Circle and National Society of Film Critics, contributing writer at Cineast, film professor at the Maryland Institute College of Art, and Robin Hood Radio's very own critic. He joins us weekly, the films A Desert, The Cinema Within, and The Day the Earth Blew Up.
Yeah, got three very different kinds of movies today. We have a horror movie, we have a documentary, and then we have a feature-length animated film. So all kinds of different stuff going on, and these are all streaming, so they're easy for people to see if they so choose. So let's begin with the horror movie, which is actually the one of these films that I like the most. It's a pretty good one. It was directed by, first feature film, by Joshua Erkman, who co-wrote the film, also. And it's an unusual and very, very interesting picture in a lot of ways. It doesn't have a whole lot of violence in it, but when it does hit, it hits very hard. So be alerted to that. A Desert is about a photographer. And at the beginning of the movie, we have him out in his car driving around a desert, basically the American desert. And he has his camera, and every once in a while, it's an old-fashioned camera, and he takes it out, and he takes a photograph or two, and then he goes back, and he stays in some motel or something like that. And that's what he does. And at first, watching this movie, I thought that maybe it was some sort of a post-apocalyptic thing, because it is made very clear that he has no GPS, he has no cell phone with him or anything like that. So maybe, you know, the rest of the world isn't there anymore. We'll find out soon enough. We find that out when he's on the phone with his wife back home and mentions to her that he doesn't have any of those things which many of us take for granted nowadays. But no, it's not a post-apocalyptic thing at all. He's simply out there and he's taking pictures, and we find out that he has been a photographer for quite a long while. He's published books of photographs, and now he's trying to get back some of the mood that he had in some of his earlier photos. He likes to go to lonely, out-of-the-way places. And as he himself explains, he likes to get in his car and drive around some deserted area and just deliberately get lost. That's why no GPS. He just likes to wander around and see what he stumbles upon. So that is the setup for this movie at the beginning of it. And eventually there are other people around, and he stays at a motel and, you know, that kind of thing. Okay. However, as the movie proceeds, he meets another person. It's actually a person living in the room next door to him at his motel. And it turns out there's two people there. There's a man and a woman he claims is his sister. And they appear to be kind of unsavory types. They're just very rude and crude, and they make a lot of noise, and they're just not evidently good people. But they managed to worm their way into the acquaintance of our main character. His name is Alex. And before you know it, they're doing a few little things together. Alex agrees to take a picture of this guy and his sister. And oh my gosh, it's very unclear as to whether they are really brother and sister. They just appear to be more like some sort of a knockabout couple of some sort. But anyway, that goes along. And then around, I would say, a third of the way into the movie, maybe going on halfway, something really, really dramatic happens. Up until that point, very little has happened. We just have Alex driving around and Alex talking to his wife on the phone and Alex getting to know these two in the room next door. But then this great big dramatic thing happens, and then the whole movie changes its tone. Now, a film that this film reminded me of is a great, great, great classic from many years ago, The Great Psycho from 1960, the great Alfred Hitchcock movie, which I assume many of our listeners have seen. It's certainly one of the great movies of all time, and I highly recommend it. And A Desert reminded me of Psycho in some ways. In Psycho 2, we have somebody who's far from home and who ends up staying in a motel and gets to know somebody at the motel. And then around halfway through the movie, something really dramatic happens that changes the whole future tone of the movie. Also, as in Psycho, roughly the halfway point, another character shows up who becomes really important, and that character is a detective. And the detective is trying to solve a crime, which we've been witness to roughly the halfway point of the movie. So very, very similar in some ways to Psycho. It's not nearly as great a movie as Psycho, but it's a very interesting picture with this unusual structure where we have a movie that appears to be going in one direction, and then something really changes that direction. And now we're going in another direction along the way. So why do I like A Desert? One thing is that it has an unusual structure. It's an unusual movie, and it kept me guessing. I was never quite sure where it was going to go next. Another reason is that it's really well acted. Kay Lennox as Alex, our main character, is really, really good, really interesting. David Yao as the detective is even better. And he really more or less takes over the second half of the movie. And there's other people are good. That very disreputable couple are very, very well acted. All their acting is really, really solid. There's a small number of significant characters in this movie, but they're all really well done. But mainly I liked A Desert because it is atmospheric. It's not just desert atmosphere, but it's lonely, out of the way, slightly somehow threatening places that turn out in some cases to be really threatening. And that atmosphere really got to me. So again, it's a movie that kept me guessing. I was never quite sure where it was going. It was very atmospheric, very spooky kind of general ambiance to it, and very well acted. So I have to say, I think this is a very promising feature film debut by Joshua Erkman. And I look forward to more work by this person. It's a movie that breaks some of the commonplace rules nowadays, doesn't fall into all the normal formulas, and that's something that I really value as well. So if you like horror movies, and maybe even if you don't, A Desert is a very good film. Again, like Psycho, it only has violence every once in a while, but when it hits, by the standards of the day, it's very intense. Now for our documentary, The Cinema Within, a movie made by Chad Friedrichs. And this is a movie about movie editing. About the idea that when you take two different shots and you put them together, one before the other, one after the other, you get a new kind of a meaning in some cases. And in other cases, you simply get an extension of the narrative. The narrative keeps going. And as this film, The Cinema Within, points out with great detail at the beginning of the film, in the very beginning of the movies, way back in the late 1890s and the very early 1900s, movies only had one shot. A movie just went on for maybe a minute, probably less than that. And then when that shot was over, then the movie was over. And it wasn't until roughly 1900, slightly after that, that people got the idea that you could continue the story by simply splicing a second shot onto the first shot. And hey, you could do a third shot and a fourth shot, and you could keep a story going for as long as you wanted to. And that was a huge change. And so the original use of film editing was just to make stories last longer on the screen. And then you got this idea developed that if you put shots of different kinds together, one after the other, you can create new meanings, juxtapositions that can just create things that aren't there right within the linear story itself. So anyway, film editing has continued along its merry way and has been pointed out by many, many people. Film editing is really one of the only things that makes cinema, movies, motion pictures, unique as an art form. You can get people acting in the theater. You can get storytelling in all kinds of other art forms. You can get the visuals in movies. You can get those in paintings and photographs. But you do have those moving pictures, and you have the idea of attaching one shot to another, known as editing or montage. And then you can get a whole different animal, something that cannot exist in any other form of art or storytelling or culture. So that is what this documentary, The Cinema Within, is all about. And what it does is it delves into some of the minutiae, some of the fine details, and some of the interesting implications of all this. For example, one thing that this documentary does is to look into the research of a woman who has done some really scientific delving into the way people blink when they're watching movies. And it turns out that when a bunch of people are watching a movie together for the first time, their blinking becomes kind of synchronized. But when it's not the first time, then their blinking is somewhat less synchronized. Things like that, which is kind of interesting. And it's connected with the idea that, in a way, cutting from one shot to another in a movie is kind of what happens when you blink. You're kind of interrupting your visual field for just a moment, the way a cut does in a movie, but you're also continuing because the blink goes away. And it even gets into another area of this, the idea of the saccade, the little eye movements that our eyes are always making constantly, of which we are completely unaware, just as we are generally unaware of the cuts in a movie. If we want to watch the cuts from one shot to another in a movie, if we want to keep a track of that and be aware of it, we can easily do that. Most cuts, unless the filmmakers have deliberately disguised them, are really, really obvious to see. But mostly when all of us watch movies, including people like me who have been watching movies for a living for decades, don't even have to notice those cuts. We just follow the continuity of the story. This kind of editing is called continuity editing, and we don't even notice the little cuts along the way that create the continuity. And the movie mentions the fact that the cutting in movies has become much more rapid. Nowadays, it's once every few seconds there's a cut to another shot, and things like that that the movie deals with. So, if you're interested in how movies are made, if you're interested in the aesthetics of movie, if you're interested in how movies tell their stories, then you'll find a whole lot of really, really, really strong interest in the cinema within. I've been a film professor and a film critic for many, many a long year, and I know most of this stuff already, although the research into eye blinking that is presented in this film is pretty new. But it's a good sort of a basic primer in some of the basics of the way movies work. The trouble with the cinema within, which I did not much enjoy watching, is that it is badly edited. This film about film editing is a badly edited film. And what I mean by that is it is very, very lumpy and slow and gradual. The shots go on too long. We have people just sitting, staring into the camera. We have people talking slowly. We have people making the same point over and over again. Now, I admit, if I hadn't already known most of the stuff that's in this movie, I would have been more interested in it. But as it was, as I watched it, I think my own blinking probably became more frequent. And I admit that there were times when I was tempted to let my blinking just turn into closed eyes and forget about watching this thing anymore. I didn't. I watched the whole movie intensely and intently and carefully. But I have to say, it is so slow. If you took out all the dead spots in this movie, the movie where nothing is being revealed, where nothing is really being said of interest, you would probably have a really excellent 20 or 30 minute documentary instead of the 93 minute documentary that we have now. So, The Cinema Within, if you want to learn more about how movies work, definitely watch it. But if you want to watch an entertaining and engrossing and engaging documentary, I'm afraid this is not the place to look. I found The Cinema Within to be pretty dull stuff. And now for our final movie that I'm going to talk about today, The Day the Earth Blew Up. Okay, sounds like another horror movie, a science fiction movie, and it is those things, but it's mainly a feature-length cartoon made by Peter Baumgart, who directed it. Baumgart has been running a Looney Tunes spin-off TV series, and he decided to put together this feature-length documentary, and now it is with us. And again, it's screening. You can watch it very easily. The stars of The Day the Earth Blew Up are Daffy Duck and Porky Pig. They have been in the movies for about 90 years. So, oh, talk about your long-lasting movie stars. They were two of the main figures in the great old-fashioned Looney Tunes series from Warner Brothers Animation. Other Warner Brothers characters like Sylvester the Cat and Tweety the Bird and Elmer Fudd and Bugs Bunny, they're not in this movie at all. We just have Porky Pig and Daffy Duck, and Petunia Pig is a very important character. So it's good old-fashioned Looney Tunes stuff. And it's a wild and zany and wacky kind of a story, suitable to Looney Tunes characters. At the beginning, we have an astronomer who discovers that an anomaly, an asteroid, out of nowhere is hurtling towards the Earth, and it's going to hit the Earth, and the Earth is going to blow up. And from there, we move into what is really the main story of the movie, which is about this person from space who apparently is trying to take over the Earth by handing out bubble gum everywhere, which turns people into zombies. So, okay, the scientist and then pretty soon Daffy and Porky have somehow got to combat this horrible plot to take over the Earth by turning people into zombies by giving them some sort of narcotized bubble gum that everybody is chewing now. The power of capitalism, the power of public relations, the power of advertising. This bubble gum is all over the place. Then it turns out long into the movie that something else totally has been going on all the while. The scientist is not as bad as we thought. I mean, the person handing out the bubble gum is not as bad as we thought. And in fact, the whole thing is actually attempting to save the Earth from being blown up by this this asteroid, which is still heading toward the Earth. And then eventually the plot develops to somehow encase the Earth in a bubble made from this bubble gum. And that will save the Earth anyway. This is obviously cartoon stuff. The movie is totally implausible on any measure at all, even as cartoons go, but it's sort of fun. I have to say, I didn't have a great time watching The Earth Blew Up. For one thing, it's a PG movie. For young kids, it's got a lot of action, but it's got a lot of very, very violent and destructive action. So I'd be careful before I took a very, very impressionable, very, very young child to it. And I found the whole thing more noisy and hectic and frantic than actually funny. I found very few real laughs in it. Now, it is old-fashioned 2D animation. It doesn't have that kind of standardized look that the Pixar and the Pixar type stuff has nowadays. So that was refreshing. I did enjoy the old-fashioned look of it, and the animation is pretty darn good. I didn't find it very funny. I didn't really find it all that entertaining. But people who love cartoon stuff, whatever it is, will enjoy this feature-length dive into the old world of Looney Tunes. So the day the Earth blew up, I wouldn't blow up the movie. It has its mild charms. So that's my somewhat varied story this week.
For which we thank you as ever and always, David Sterrett. Films in Focus, the films A Desert, The Cinema Within, and The Day the Earth Blew Up.
Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.